2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. So we can all look that up at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Okay, starting at verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen."
Morning, everyone. I hope everybody got a good night's sleep. This morning we're going to be looking at what is our hope. I'd like to say greetings from the Collinston Ecclesia. I'd like to give Brother Todd Stevens a thank you for calling me and asking me to speak. This morning, we're going to be talking on what is our hope. We're going to look at some scriptures that describes what should be our hope and our desire. To get us started, let's define the word hope. Hope, used as a noun, can be defined as a person or thing in which expectations are centered. When hope is used as a verb, it is defined as to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence, also to believe, desire, or trust. If we put our confidence and our hope in Yahweh and follow His commandments, we know that we will have a chance to be heirs according to His promise. As many of you all know, I wasn't born or raised in the truth. I grew up in a Baptist church. All of my years going to church as a young person, it seemed to me that I never could really make any sense out of what they were trying to teach or preach to me. It always seemed like a mystery. Or at least when I asked a question, that was the response I got out of people. "Well, it's a mystery. We don't really know how it happens. It just does." That was the kind of answers I would get. The Bible is a mystery to those who don't care to study and search it out. The mystery religion is paganism or pagan worship. So then I started to go with Della, and the very first time I went on Wednesday night, they were studying and talking about Abraham. In my mind, I was asking myself, who is Abraham? I couldn't ever think of a time in all my years in church if I had ever heard of him. They kept on reading about Abraham, and we looked up a scripture. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4, verses 9 through 16. Romans 4, 9 through 16. "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Here I am sitting in Bible study, somewhere I had never been before. I read of this man named Abraham, who is the father of our faith, who has also given a promise to inherit a land for his and his family's possession. I am thinking, how come I have never heard of Abraham? I have never heard of the man who is the father of our faith. Can you imagine how I must have felt? I was sitting and I hear of this man being the father of my faith, and I had never heard of him before, and I'm sitting with people that I barely know in Bible study, and I'm reading it straight out of the Bible. I was in awe. And so that struck my interest to start studying. And the more I studied, and the more I read the Bible, the easier it became to understand. And I slowly started to realize that it wasn't a mystery. That my problem had been living a life of vanity. Everybody turn with me to Ephesians 2:12. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I had no hope and was without God in the world. If you were raised in the truth, then it's hard for a person to understand how it feels when you've been living in vanity and without hope to actually come across the truth. I was ready to study and learn what I had been missing out on. What a joy it is to finally find something that sticks to you and you can't stop thinking about. The more a person studies the truth, it becomes easier to understand. The truth is something special that we must hang on to and keep it pure. Now that we've talked about me and everybody has an understanding of where I came from, I would like to look at our hope in three phases. The first phase, gaining knowledge and understanding to being baptized. The second phase, our walk during our probationary period. And the third phase, resurrection to judgment and being found worthy of a place in the kingdom. So let's look at the first phase, knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. Hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall be delivered to thee. We are told here to get wisdom and understanding and forget it not. Also not to forsake it, and it will preserve us. Preserve means to keep. Don't we all want Yahweh to keep us? After we have a good understanding of the first principles, and we believe we are ready to be questioned by the elders of the ecclesia, and upon giving a good confession of our faith, we are ready for the waters of baptism. Now there is only one baptism that will work according to the Bible, and that's in Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. I'll read that. I'm sure everybody knows this. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Baptism justifies us through the blood of Christ. We know that in Adam all shall die, even so as in Christ shall all be made alive. After baptism, we put on Christ and we try to live a Christ-like life. Let's look at Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Colossians 3, 8 through 10. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. We gain an understanding and become baptized. We become seeds of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. That brings us to our probationary period. That'd be our second phase. We start our probationary period after baptism, and we continue on till we pass away, or let's say till we fall asleep in Christ. This time of our life can be called our race, and it's something that we must continue to run till we fall asleep or Christ returns. No matter what the circumstances are, we have to continue that race and always keep our sights firmly set on the kingdom. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Romans 13:12-14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This is the way we are commanded to walk in our lives, each and every day. We need to keep our garments clean, obey all of Yahweh's commandments, to strive to overcome our daily struggles, so that we may inherit a place in His righteous kingdom. Let's look at the third phase, being found worthy. 1 Corinthians 15:47-57. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This kingdom shall have no end, and it will be the greatest kingdom ever established. It will be a great and glorious day to be in the kingdom. Let's look at Revelation 21, verse 1 through 7. 21:1-7. This section here, verses, is titled The New Jerusalem. And it says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their God. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And then he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. In closing, I would like to look at a few more scriptures. Let's look at Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says, Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Here it uses the word deferred. If we define the word deferred, it means postponed or delayed. Now let's reread the verse using these words. Hope delayed or postponed maketh the heart sick. Is it because we have become lazy in our daily lives that our hope becomes lax and less enthused? If we want to eat of the tree of life, we should never be lax or unenthused in our walk. In that same scripture, it says, Desire cometh, it is a tree of life. What does the tree of life represent? How about gaining life eternal? I'm going to read part of Revelation's Chapter 2, verse 7 and 11, and it says, To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. To him that overcometh, he shall not be hurt of the second death. What a great reward that is to eat of the tree and not being hurt of the second death. I ask, brothers, sisters, and young people, what is our hope? That we should put off the old man and put on the new, which is renewed in the spirit. And let's run our race and walk accordingly in our probationary period, that we may all hear those words from Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Thank you.